Heyo, welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike the Tiger. And how about old corn dog Shane? What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on? Oh, we were just talking about how everybody hates us and we're going around the globe. And then I was like, well, Stephen Up's probably going to be turning on the show and he's going to say, hey, what were they saying about me? I was like, he's literally the only Bama fan we have right now. So we're hanging on by a string, Mike. But no, feeling good, man. Went out, did a little golfing today. It's hot as hell out there. And surprise, I survived, to be honest with you. About hole 16, 17, I was not reading putts. We were just hitting to get it over with.
Well, hopefully that's not what them LSU Tigers have to do this season, because that's what they were doing at the end of the old Brian Kelly era.
Yeah.
I've been sitting on this one, Shane, because I think you can make the case, and I think it's an easy one, and I think you'd have a strong one. LSU, the most interesting team in the Southeastern Conference in 2026. What's your thoughts on that?
I think they already have stolen media days and we're not even down there yet. This is every single day, even though LSU will be there for one day, every single day we will hear about Lane Kiffin. Every single day we'll hear about the LSU Tigers. You know, and to go from the absolute embarrassment the last couple of seasons, nobody bounced back better than LSU Tigers. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Mike Andrews says, were you stocking the beverage cart lady tonight?
I was. And you know what I asked her, Mike? I asked her if she had any Tennessee Legend distillery in there. That's right. If you are up here in the Smoky Mountains trying to get your golf on, make sure you grab some Kingsnake over here at Tennessee Legend Distillery. They got all kinds of stuff. What's popular right now is the old vanilla. And I tell you, brother, it pairs well with just about every soda you got. So if you are in Smoky Mountains, be sure to stop off and see our family over there at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Not only will you get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift. And don't forget, Mike, they've also got a location in Nashville, and you can get this stuff sent to you. To your house? No. To your package store? Absolutely. Tell them they got to get it on the shelf, and we'll send it out immediately.
Yeah, they'll be at the Fanboy Expo, so they're hooking us up. So we'll be there. Hopefully, maybe we ought to text them, Shane, because I need to get my hands on some of this vanilla. I've not had it yet.
Yeah,
maybe they can hook it up and bring a bottle.
I hope to see some cousins in there because they're also going to have a tent there for Tennessee Legend, and so we'll be hanging out there quite often. But I'm looking forward to it, man. I have no idea what we're getting into, but I cannot wait to see the chaos. That's the Fanboy, what's it called again?
Fanboy Expo there in Knoxville.
There it is.
If you had to dress up, Shane, as one SEC coach.
Yes.
Who are you going as this for Fanboy?
Mike Elko. Yes. and I'm gonna tell everyone how dumb cousin Shane is while I'm there.
All right, Shane. Well, let's dive into it. LSU preview. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to spend a ton of time on last year because it was a train wreck and everybody got fired and most of the people are gone. So we went 7-6 last year, 3-5 in the Southeastern Conference start. And imagine, Shane, imagine how much we debated that Clemson game.
Yep.
And even Florida. I was trying to sell everybody that Florida is going to be pretty good. But if you had told me you could guarantee me LSU beat Clemson, beat Florida, I said, well, I guess they're marching their ass to the college football playoff, but it was not meant to be. I think that Vanderbilt loss was an absolute killer. And then, of course, A&M ran them out of their own building. They fired Brian Kelly immediately thereafter. And that was all she wrote about last year. But I will say this, Shane. If there is a silver lining, and I don't even know a silver lining. I mean, the silver lining is you got Kiffin out of it. But even though some LSU media was telling us Brian Kelly's better than Lane Kiffin a year ago, and they profited massively off blah, blah, blah. But how about this, Shane? The defense never quit. Even when the season was in turmoil, defensive coordinator, I mean, he was interviewing for Tulane head coaching job, Memphis head coaching. He for all he knew, the next coach was going to come in here and say, "Get the hell out of here, Blake Baker. You're part of the reason we sucked." But the defense was hell. They nearly knocked off Oklahoma here. They only lost to Oklahoma because their quarterback threw a pick six.
Yep.
And even I know again Western Kentucky, you're like 13-10. What are we talking about? But again, it's the defense that won you the game. So I credit this LSU defense for not giving up on the season, and I think you know, we can carry that over to this year.
It's funny because that's what we do, right? We always say, man, if we had Jane Daniels and that offense and this defense, we would have won a national title 2 years in a row, you know? So all the bad things that were surrounding that program, that's one thing that wasn't, was the defense. And I felt like that was part of the reason that coach got fired, because the offense was his baby and it failed miserably.
That it did. But you know whose offense doesn't fail miserably?
Lane Kiffin's.
Lane Kiffin, come on down. I mean, look at this record, Shane. And look at where he's been. Maybe don't look at Southern Cal. He's a changed man since then. But he got hired at FAU when no one would give him a shot. Remember, for years and years, he just wanted to be a head coach again. Mm-hmm. He was actually going to go to LSU to be the offensive coordinator. And Nick Saban said, hell no, we can't have that, because I know what a good coach Lane Kiffin is. I'm going to help you get the FAU job. He was there for 3 years. I believe he won that conference twice. Mm-hmm. You know, he just dominated. And then it was like, oh, okay, well, it was FAU. Can you possibly do that in a Southeastern Conference? And he has turned Ole Miss into one of the powers in the conference, believe it or not, got them to the playoff. We don't have to rehash why he didn't coach in a playoff, but he got them there, Shane. He got them there, and they were winning 10 wins, 11 wins. I mean, this guy's just a damn winner.
Yeah.
And he's bringing all that to LSU, where he's going to have more talent than he's ever had to work with. He's going to have more resources than he's ever had to work with. And, you know, I think you could see on paper why LSU fans are so damn excited.
And rightfully so, Mike. I feel like when you look at just the wins and losses right here, you know, if you remove Lane Kiffin's name and his photo and you're just looking at this, you're saying, I don't know who this guy is. But
Nick Saban.
He's a damn winner. And you put him at LSU. Give him the keys to the castle? Good Lord, Mike. What can he do but win national titles? That's why the bar is set so high, because this is the guy that's supposed to bring them back to glory land.
Indeed. Indeed, Shane. So let's take a look here real quick at LSU recent history. And I went a little bit further back, Shane, because LSU's got a proud history here. But I went back to 2016, Coach O. Of course, we loved Coach O. But one thing that really stood out to me, Shane.
Yeah.
Really stood out to me. Strength of schedule is in the top 10. Damn near every year. I mean, we're going back to 20, so 10 years here. Only twice has it not been top 10. And one of those was number 14. So we always got an elite schedule. And I think even more importantly, the talent is literally every single year been ranked in the top 10.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin has never had this much talent to work with. His the rosters he's worked with are around the 20th ranked overall roster. So more talent than he's ever had to work with. And of course, the two outliers here, 2019, that was the Joe Burrow year, mm-hmm. and Jaden Daniels 2023, when I'm talking specifically on offense now. Those years were dynamic. And I get Kiffin, he may never have as good a year as Joe Burrow in 2019.
Right.
But he is consistent. He's going to turn this around on the offensive side of the football. But one thing that's really got me bothered, and credit to Blake Baker, we'll get to him in a minute here, but defensive success rate since 2017, all the way there on the right-hand side of the screen, if you can see it. Here's LSU national defensive success rate ranking since 2017. 28th in the country, 29th, 21, 104, 75, 47, 110. Then we did we hired Blake Baker, 64, not great, but 21 was you know, the best as it's been since in a long while. But point being, Shane, this ain't LSU football that I grew up on.
Yeah.
LSU's always been dominant on the defensive side of the football as long as I can remember. And we've got to get back to that, I feel like, if we're going to win championships at LSU.
Yeah, it's funny because you ask kids about LSU, they'll tell you about Ja'Marr Chase and Jefferson and, you know, all these beautiful toys that they've had come through here and put up these wonderful offensive numbers. But you are right. When I think of LSU, I think of defense. I think of the biggest, baddest, ugliest dudes you've ever seen in your life there at Death Valley. And it hasn't been there. Even though the defense was great last year, it was kind of like an echo to what we saw growing up. And I like it. I like when LSU has the biggest, baddest boys in the Southeastern Conference. So that's what I want to get back as well.
Yeah, when you said that, I just think of Glenn Dorsey, one of the most dominant defensive linemen in SEC history, won a national championship. And I know this is like way off topic, Shane, but do you remember a Les Miles famous line the year he won the national championship? LSU lost two games. Do you remember, you know, they asked me about, you know, back then it was BCS. It was 1-2 get into the championship. They said, well, Les, why do you deserve to get in after losing two games? You remember what he said? This is one of my favorite lines ever. He said, we're undefeated in regulation. They lost both of them in overtime. So, hey, maybe the man had a point. They went to the national championship game. They won it. So, undefeated in regulation, I guess.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Hey, shout out. So, again, here's Kiffin. His track record dating back to his time at FAU as a head coach, and which was 2017. And I said it. Thing that really stood out to me, he's never had talent ranked in the top 20 other than one in 2024 at Ole Miss. It was ranked number 20. So never inside that. So again, he's stepping in day one to significantly better talent. And if you just look at the offense under Kiffin, I'm seeing a hell of a lot more green than I am anything else, Shane, and dark green at that. So again, the offense will be consistent. And if we can get this defense turned around, which is where Blake Baker comes in.
Yeah.
Where his last three of his last 4 years, this is dating back to Missouri, and then last couple here at LSU, three of the last 4 years, his defense has ranked top 21 in defensive success rate. So pretty damn good. I think we've got a great combination. When we go Kiffin, Charlie Weiss, Blake Baker, we're talking head coach, coordinator, maybe the best trio in the SEC.
Boy, buddy, LSU fans, calm down. Calm down. You may need to pause this for a second. Go outside, take a little walk, all right? We ain't crowding you yet. But I do feel like, I don't know, if you're building one, right? If you're building a team, you're playing a video game, and you're like, hey, I'm going to go out here and get this, this, and this. This is the three. I'm going to make it work, and it seems like it always does. On paper, Mike, this looks like a team that is definitely about to turn around, about to turn this conference upside down.
Buddy, you might be right, Shane.
Based off, this is what I've heard so far, you know?
Now, here's the negative.
Yeah.
Returning production. again, we'll get to the portal king, all that. But where are we at? Returning production on the offensive side of the football, Shane, 34%. Of our production from last year returns at his 11th in the SEC. How's this calculated? Passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, and offensive line snaps. And what does Cousin Shane have in common with LSU quarterbacks? They had the same prediction on last year's team. So 0%. Obviously, we've addressed that via the portal. But yeah, again, we got a lot of our rushing back with Harlan Berry. Caden Durham is back. So we're number 6 in the SEC. 68% of our rushing is back. That's pretty solid. Our receiving yards, here's another kind of issue. We bring back the freakazoid Tre'Dez Green. He was awesome last year.
Yeah.
He had 433 yards, 7 touchdowns. 7 touchdowns, the most an LSU tight end has ever scored in that program's proud history, Shane. But the next best guy, Shane, caught two passes for 22 yards. So little bit of a void there. Offensive line snaps, 31% are back. That is 10th in the Southeastern Conference. So a lot of work on this side of the football.
Yeah. Yeah. But it seems like we have the same conversation every year with Lane Kiffin, right? Typically a lot of turnover, but like you said, we'll get to the portal king here in a minute. In fact, if you were to ask me, like, which coach would you worry least about with these returning production stats, I would say, without a doubt, if we're power ranking, Lane Kiffin number one.
Yeah, Ole Miss was basically dead last in all these categories last year.
Yeah.
They had more wins or went further than anybody in the college football playoff. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, defensive side of the football, Shade, 42% of the production's back. That's 14th in the SEC. This is calculated by tackles returning, tackles for loss and sacks returning, passes defended, and interceptions returning. So we've got some studs coming back. Devon Keyes, he led the team, 92 tackles. He's back. Cooley's back. And so 45% of our tackles, that's 11th in the Southeastern Conference. Tackles for loss and sacks, only 36% are back. That is 15th in the conference. But here's where we have a lot of pretty solid depth returning, Shane. Passes defended and interceptions, 46%. That is 9th in the Southeastern Conference with a lot of high-end 4-star, 5-star type players that are young still,
yeah,
that are back for this team. So a lot of holes to fill, but that's why we've added 41 players via the transfer portal.
Exactly, man. Exactly. But we brought some leadership back, you know, and that's one of the things that is maybe something that we don't talk about near enough when we have new coaches come in, is just how quick do you get that locker room together. And I feel like with what is coming back, I feel like leadership will be present in that locker room. Expectations will be, you know, ringing throughout that locker room.
Okay, well, let's get into, Shane, what all these LSU fans are fired up about. The transfer portal. Come on, Portal King over here on three. What have they been smoking? They have this as the number 5 portal class in the country. That's probably because while they added 41 guys, 34 exited the program. But 24/7 Sports, that's the one we value on this show, Shane, where they've got the number 1 portal class in the country, led by, according to 24/7 Sports, the number 1 quarterback, Sam Leavitt, the number 1 left tackle, Jordan Seaton from Colorado, the number 1 edge defender, Princewell from Ole Miss, stole him right from Cheat Golding's cheating ass here. And everybody I talk to, Shane, they cannot say enough. If you don't know about this guy by now, you're going to know all about him this fall. Safety Ty Benefield from Boise State, All-American caliber player. And they've added Jace Brown, Trey Brown, not related, but big-time receivers, Shane. Old Trey, he was a trucker last year for Old Dominion, I believe. And Jace Brown, Hawaii, he was all-conference there. Jordan Ross, defensive end. Winnie Watkins, Ole Miss. It just goes on and on and on, Shane. They added offensive line, defensive line. They had a lot of holes, and yeah, they had a lot of money to spend, and they went out there and spent it on Mr. Meet You at the Airport, Sam Leavitt. Mm. So, again, that deficiencies shored up basically is the summarization of his transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, this I feel like at the end of the day, this one really will steal the headlines, you know, and you needed a quarterback. And there was a lot of rumors. There was a lot of talk about, I really feel like this is who they wanted and who they needed. And, you know, and I feel like with that pressure, though, there's going to be a lot riding on Sam's shoulders. But I do love the pieces that they were able to put around him, make his life a little bit easier. In fact, Sam, say what you want, he's never seen talent near as good as what he has now in his in the backfield. So, LSU absolutely loaded in the portal.
He helped Arizona State get to the college football playoff, Shane. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, remember that little guy, Cam Scataboo, I think his name, yeah, with the running back? Aside from him, I don't think there's a player on that damn Arizona State team that could play for this LSU team. You know what?
No, I don't think so, Mike.
All right, so let's get into, quickly, the recruiting, Shane. Again, Kiffin got there late. Well, I mean, kind of early. We kind of knew what was happening. But late in the cycle, right? And they still landed the number 12 recruiting class in the country, which, again, this is after a coaching transition. So pretty solid. Number 6 in the SEC. And, buddy, it was a big year for talent in the state of Louisiana. They locked in a lot of big time, particularly lineman, Shane. Number 1 defensive lineman in the country, Lamar Brown. Number 2 defensive lineman in the country, Richard Anderson. Oh, and why not just get the number 4 defensive lineman in the country, Shane? Deuce Giralds, who apparently he's the best damn one thus far. So they loaded up on linemen. Number 7 receiver, Corey Barber. Number 12 offensive tackle, Brayston Martinez. Number 15 edge player, Trenton Anderson. Number 13 tight end, J.C. Anderson. You know how Kiffin loves these tight ends. So I just mentioned the guys at the top, but again, that's pretty damn impressive that you haul in a number 12 class, considering how late in the cycle you come into LSU. But I think that's just the power of the boot down there. You know what?
That's it. And, you know, honestly, when we think about all those good LSU teams, that's what it was about, was recruiting. It's mainly the state, right? And I feel like if you could do that moving forward, there is a lot of talent down there in Louisiana. And if Lane can keep that and get who he needs outside of that state, buddy, this is a side of a Lane Kiffin we're probably not used to, but he'd be crazy not to take advantage of.
Exactly. All right, Shane. So this was the damn hardest one yet when it comes to making out the depth charts, right?
Yeah.
So please bear with me. There's a lot of guesses here. But you let me know if anything stands out about LSU's offensive depth chart.
A lot of yeller right there.
Yeah, so that means a transfer. So basically, the entire 2 deep aside from running back, I got as the backups anyways, transfers. And a hell of a lot of, basically, again, everybody at receiver is a transfer. Mm-hmm. Couple offensive linemen, and of course, quarterback. So a lot of transition, a lot of moving pieces here. I don't even know how to begin to rank these guys, but I'll go for the sake of continuity, Shane.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go running backs, maybe our best position on LSU's offense, which might be a little stunning to people because we got Durham and Barry back, and they were touted recruits. Durham came into the SEC, had a really good debut, but not very productive. I mean, each of them had over 400 yards last year. But again, this is LSU, where we demand excellence. I think with this new coaching staff, we will get excellence out of these running backs. But I'm going to put them number 1. And the third stringer, a guy named Dylan from Wisconsin, he was the best damn running back they said they had in spring camp. So we might be absolutely loaded at running back this year.
Yeah, and it was almost a hot hand, and I felt like they couldn't pick that right hand last year. But I have a feeling Lane Kiffin will have no problem with that. And that's one thing that, you know, sometimes we talk about these explosive offenses and we want to talk about the quarterback and the wide receivers. But, you know, if you ask Lane, he wants a running game, man. He wants to keep that thing rolling, and he's got a loaded room to work with.
Mm-hmm. All right. Again, I don't know how you rate these guys, because particularly when you're putting them all together, right? But
yeah,
I'll go receivers next. They added a lot of explosive playmakers, Jace Brown, Jackson Harris, Winnie Watkins from Ole Miss. So, again, I'm not quite sure what to make of this unit, but what have we seen from Coach Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss? They're going to produce a highly effective and explosive offense. So while the casual fans may have no idea who a lot of these guys are at this point in time, I think there's going to be a lot of production across the board with it, especially if I could throw Tre'Dez Green in there. He's all American type good.
Oh yeah. You know me, man. I'd rename my kid Tre'Dez if I could, but I can't because I don't think she'd like it. But I feel like this receiver room probably not, you know, it's not still in the headlines, but these guys are, I mean, they're elite players. Some of these ones that have come in, wherever they were at, they were elite where they were. And one thing else I like about it is, hell, the backups, Mike. And you may be, like you said, you're not completely sold on the depth chart right now, but That's one thing about this wide receiver room is I don't think it's settled to begin with, right? There's a lot of talent that's sitting there as projected backups that I expect to get some playing time coming into the season as well. So very, very deep unit here.
And then third, I'll go quarterbacks, Shane. Again, Sam Levitt, star of the show, mm-hmm. right? We got Landon Clark, who played a lot at Elon last year. And then they also added a guy named Hussein Longstreet, I believe is his name, from Southern Cal, went to go play for Old Brisket there. And he was just there 1 year. He was going to go to A&M. So, I mean, this is one of the most touted prospects in the country. They just added three, Shay, because they said, why add one quarterback when you're going to add three of the transfer portal? So give me the quarterbacks next.
Yeah, and again, Sam, we hope he plays all 12 games, right? Hell, we hope he plays the first one, and we think he will, but I feel like you got to have some talent back there. And, yeah, I'm not familiar with Elon, you know what I'm saying? So, but if Landon's the dude, or Hussein, you said, comes in here and he's mm-hmm. the guy, then I have a feeling whoever it is, Lane Kiffin will develop. That's kind of his baby, you know?
Hey, Liquid says he's naming his kid Cousin, middle name Shane.
I like it.
So last but not least, I'll go offensive line. This legitimately is a question mark for me, but it's a question mark, yet you added the number one left tackle in the portal, Jordan Seaton, who I don't think he's given up a sack last year. The guy they got from Maryland, his name's Ali Ba. He's supposed to be really good. He didn't give up a sack either. Mm-hmm. So, we got some talent to work with. I think the one thing, and again, I shouldn't hold this against an offensive line, but not really a big fan of the coach they got either. Offensive line, Wolford is his name. Yeah. He was up there at Kentucky. Remember we used to have the big blue wall? Mm-hmm. We did till he got there. Remember he was at Alabama, and that offensive line went to hell pretty quick too. You know what I'm saying? So everywhere he's been, it's not been too great, but we're going to change it here at LSU. You know what?
He must be a real likable guy, though. You know, like if you don't have the resume, they're like, I don't know. He doesn't produce, but damn, he's hilarious. You know?
He's fun in the meeting room.
Absolutely. Is that me on this show? I don't bring anything but a little entertainment occasionally.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get to the defensive side of the ball. So this is a little bit clearer of a picture for me, Shane. Again, we're still bringing in a lot of transfers, right? But not the entire two deep, basically. So give me the defensive backs. I would go them. And I'm just splitting hairs here because I really like Woodland and Pickett and Thule. And again, I told you about Ty Benefield. Everybody that I talk to says he's amazing. So mm-hmm. I really like this defensive backfield. I think they're going to do some big things this year. Everybody loves the tight ends too, Shane. Whit Weeks is back. He was banged up. He was all SEC in 24 after, the last time he played a full season. TJ Dottery, he was just a standout for Ole Miss with nearly 100 tackles. And then Devon Keyes is back. He led us in tackles last year. So when I'm putting the leading tackler as a backup, and it really just depends on how many linebackers they're putting on the field. If they're putting three out there, Keyes is a starter, but really good linebacking trio here for LSU. And then kind of, the unknown a little bit. And maybe my biggest question mark about this entire team, if we're talking playoff national championship type, is the defensive line. Because Princewell he's performed outstanding last year at Ole Miss with 9 sacks. He was one of the leaders in the Southeastern Conference. But Jordan Ross, I'm not just saying this because he left Tennessee, Shane. But
cheater. Okay, sorry.
He has not quite lived up to the 5-star status, but we know he's got the talent. And then we've got a lot of freshmen. I mean, heck, I got a freshman in the 2-deep here, and I rattled off all the elite linemen they've added, and apparently they're going to be playing all these guys. And I just don't know if that's good or bad. You know, that tells me we got some hell of a talent out of the high school ranks on the defensive line. Uh-huh. But again, if we're trying to win SEC, we're trying to win national championships.
Yeah.
Can you do that playing a bunch of freshmen on a defensive line? I don't know.
It is not a good recipe for championships, right? And, when I think of maybe – I don't know, maybe the last few national titles, it seems like that defensive front has kind of been the part of the reason, the depth mainly, you know, because if you have one or two go down, which you're going to, you got to have that rotation. But, you know, I don't know, man, I never go into this thinking, man, I can't wait to see how great, you know, Lane Kiffin's defense is, right? But if we can kind of keep a little bit of what we saw last year and move that forward into this season, I do feel like they're going to be all right. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I just really don't know about this one.
And, again, I mean, you could have the best linebackers in the world, the best secondary, but if the defensive line doesn't hold up, the whole thing will collapse, you know?
There's been so many great teams that have had that, right, and have had a great secondary, a great linebacker core. But, you know, if these blocks are getting off your defensive lineman and hitting weeks here, then all of a sudden he's not as elite as he used to be, right? So you're going to have to get some dogs up front. And I'm not saying they don't have it. They've got talent, Mike, but it's just unproven talent.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to kicker, Shane, kicker, we went to the portal, got Arkansas's kicker, Scott Starzik, I think is how you say his name, 14 of 18 last year, so pretty solid. Tried to get the Ole Miss kicker, remember how awesome he is, but
yeah.
I don't know what kind of evidence Chi Golden's got on him, but it must be pretty good to keep him in Oxford. And then we bring back our punter. Hey, remember I was looking for silver linings? That was a silver lining about last year. We were so bad on offense. Our punter is ready for this year because he's not going to be needed like he was last year. 62 punts, over 45 yards per punt is Grant Chadwick. He's back for another year. So we've got it locked down on special teams.
Hell yeah. I just saw my name. I'll be honest, Mike. If we were being honest with each other, Mike, who's had more corn dogs in their life, you or me?
I think it's a competition.
It's really not, now that I think about it.
All right, so let's look at these anonymous coach comments. Shane Vita, our friend Steven Lassen out of the Athlon book. What are they saying? What are these coaches saying, Shane, about them LSU Tigers? Any offense that Lane Kiffin has had, they've been unique. They've been multiple. They've been unconventional. Schematically, with offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss, I think they're going to make people play 11-on-11 football. I could see them easily getting back to what LSU does. It's going to be a four-quarter game against those guys every time you play them with the tempo and the athletes they have. That scares me just reading that, Shane. I don't know about you, if I'm an opposing fan. And then for the defensive side of the ball, LSU defensive coordinator Blake Baker does such a great job of messing with the quarterback's eyes. He's a really big pain on third down. Ultimately, it's about what you can get your quarterback to know, and Baker makes it really hard on the quarterbacks with what they think they see and what the reality is. Oh, buddy. Did Lane write these?
He may have before he left. Would that be something? You could say something about another team, and then you go to that team. Oh, look at all these positive comments.
All right, so, I mean, that being said, Chad, we kind of just hit on it, but defensive line, a little bit of a question mark. Really, I think it's – and you kind of mentioned this yourself, just kind of getting all these pieces together.
Yeah.
Where's the chemistry? Where, you know – is there any drama? And again, I'm not saying there will be, but when you are going to the portal and you're getting number one this, number one that, number one this, I'm telling you, you're having to spend high dollar.
Yeah.
So how willing are you to accept coaching, particularly if you've never coached these guys before? You know what I mean? It's different if you're bringing in Ole Miss guys that you've been around. They know what to expect from you. You know what to expect from them. But you know, I think that is a concern. Again, when you're bringing in 41 transfers, it's a little bit different when you're bringing in 10. You can swing and miss here or there.
Yeah.
But if you start missing on all these receivers or all these linemen, you know, it just if you have a misevaluation or two, it could really hurt a position group.
You know, you ever watch Groundhog Day when that thing clicks off and it's like, put your little hand on my, you know, start singing that. That's what I'm hearing here because I feel like I've said this multiple times. In fact, you know, if you go back to what 24 season, we're like, oh man, this is the last dance. This is the perfect team. And it didn't work. And we're like, oh, they're going to implode. They're going to fall apart. And then they come back 25 with a better team. Right. With better chemistry. And so, yeah, part of you is saying, yeah, there's a lot of new pieces, a lot of new faces, so many things moving around. And I could see disaster looming, but I also see a proven coach that finds a way to get these guys dialed in. And I feel like what the biggest thing for maybe Lane Kiffin this season was having a true spring practice and spring game and springtime with those guys, because it doesn't care about depth. I've got you, you know, you're staying on this roster. We can actually work on being better prepared when fall camp shows up.
Hey, let me know. Does this comment make sense to you, Shane? Oh, Roge, I don't know how to say it, but he says, Mike was 2 years early. A lot of people got burned by us last year. He picked LSU to win in 23. He's been shitting on them ever since.
That's based true.
As hell.
I believe it was 2 years ago, coming off the was it the SEC game, SEC championship that Kelly was in, or
it was Jaden Daniels won the Heisman. So I mean, I had the offense right.
So you were like all in. I remember there was a time you were all in on LSU, but I don't think you've completely fell off until last season.
I did say Kelly would get fired, but here's why that comment is kind of asinine. Because if I jumped off and I hated on him last year, wasn't I right?
Yeah.
So what's he bitching about? I mean, I was exactly right. I said he's going to get fired, and they called me crazy, and he's fired.
That old saying, you just don't call the baby ugly. And my God, you had an ugly-ass baby last year, guys. All right. Snap it clear. Move forward. You got a new coach. You got a bright future ahead of you.
Yeah.
Up the past. Sound like one of my exes.
Facts. All right, you ready to get into the schedule breakdown, Shane?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, over under 8.5 for them LSU Tigers. They're 8.5 to 1 to win the Southeastern Conference, Shane. 22 to 1 to win the national championship. How about that, buddy? Here's the schedule. LSU hosts Clemson at home week 1. Louisiana Tech at home, at Ole Miss, that's going to be a big one. A&M at home, McNeese at home, at Kentucky, Mississippi State at home, at Auburn. Then you get your one and only bye. You get Bam at home, Texas at home, at Tennessee, and at Arkansas. Thoughts on the schedule, Shane, and 8.5?
Tough.
You like that number?
It's tough. It's a tough schedule, and I mean, I'm looking at, what, 6 teams that have been to the college football playoffs here in the last 2 years. You know what I'm saying? These are programs that are winners. And I don't like it. If you're – I think Lane Kiffin, he was like, damn, I should have waited one more year. But I feel like this is you know, that's what you do when you're down here. You know, they also got you on the schedule. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
they got to play us.
Yeah, yeah. And at home, look at all them home games, you know?
How about this? If they go there's some tough road ones too, but if LSU goes undefeated at home.
Yeah.
I will predict them to make the playoff. I don't even think that's a bold take. Do you?
No, not a bold. I'll tell you, I'll take it one step further. If they win every game at home, they don't lose a game this year.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah. If you're beating up on Texas, you're beating up on Texas A&M, you're beating up on Alabama.
Texas, I mean, Texas beat the shit out of Oklahoma, right? And then they lose to Florida. I mean, it just doesn't work that way, Shane. I mean,
I'm just saying.
A plus B doesn't meet equal C, you know, not in this conference.
Toughest games on their schedule are not.
What if Ole Miss makes a playoff? What if Tennessee makes a playoff?
If I'm doing strength of schedule right now, but what if? I mean, that's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. You can't just sit here and say, well, they're just going to win them all then.
I can. This is half my show, so I'm going to say it.
Alabama beats Georgia, then they turn around and lose to Florida State. You know what I mean? Like,
let's do a quick little bet. If they win home and they don't go undefeated, I'll eat 12 corn dogs on the show.
I'll go ahead and buy them. Because it ain't happening, Shane. It ain't happening. Now, let's get into the win-loss toss. How's that sound?
Let's do it.
This is why I don't think you go undefeated here, because I got a lot of tosses here, Shane.
Yeah, tosses here.
For them LSU Tigers. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. I got six games should be wins for LSU. Clemson at home, Louisiana Tech at home, of course, McNeese at Kentucky, Mississippi State at home, and then at Arkansas. Do you disagree with any of those six should be wins?
I don't disagree with the ones you've got labeled wins.
Oh, wait, real quick, Shane.
Yes.
Because you've done this before. Yes. And we do, Vol Tiger, we got to shout this out. No mini corn dogs. Damn. Shane has done the beers, and then he did little baby ones.
Yeah, I did.
You got to do four.
But again, I had a cardiologist appointment the next day.
That's fair. All right. So then I got a bunch of tosses, Shane. Maybe too many. I don't know. I got five tosses for LSU. At Ole Miss, A&M at home, at Auburn, Bama at home, at Tennessee. Do you disagree with any of those five toss-ups?
This I do disagree with. October 24th should be a win and not a toss.
But you like the other ones?
I do like the other ones.
Right. I forgot you hate Auburn. All right. So then last, we got Texas. I know it's a home game, but they're like all in. National championship or bust?
Yeah.
I think that's a should be a loss.
Should be loss. Should be loss.
Okay. Hey, shout out to Jared.
Yeah.
First time Shane hopes he loses a
bet. Come on, Tigers. Go 11-1 for me.
All right. So now, are you ready to go week by week as optimistic LSU? Got our LSU glasses here, optimistically, week by week predictions.
Perfect scenario. You win every home game. You lose to Tennessee, and I eat 12 corn dogs. But yes, I'm ready.
all right. Remember Clemson? That was a big time game last year. Mm-hmm. 17-10. You won it. We thought, oh, baby. Maybe I'm dead wrong about this. Well, I picked Clemson to win. I don't even know if you remember that. You picked LSU correctly, to your credit. So, this is when I started to think, we got a defense cooking over here. And, you know, I almost put this as a toss, believe it or not, Shane. And it probably shouldn't be. Because LSU is like a 10.5-point favorite. So I couldn't justify this being a toss. But just because I'm not a believer in Clemson, obviously Dabo. I mean, he should have quit about 3 years ago while the getting was good, you know. But year, whatever it is for him, 12, 13, I don't know. But, you know, he's got an established program, backs against the wall. Week one, game one for Kiffin. I mean, like, if this was game two, I think Kiffin, if he's being honest with you, he'd prefer that. Because we'd smoke Clemson if it was week two. But week one, buddy, upset.
Ooh.
Clemson is going to be upset. They're losing this game. But I have that 10.5, that's a bit rich for me, if that makes sense. Like, I think we comfortably win this one by 7, 8.
Yeah.
But 10.5 is, I don't think I'd bet that today.
I think this is more about Clemson not being good than it is LSU being bad, right? I'm kind of with you. I feel like week six, week seven, dude, this could probably be a 17-point spread, you know, by that point. But I don't think this is a game at all. Maybe if it were, you know, at that little baby Death Valley, but it's not. It's at the big boy Death Valley. So give me LSU big here. And Dabo, oh my gosh, the downfall of Dabo that happens in 2026 will be epic. And it starts with Lane Kiffin.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Honest question.
Yes.
Because I believe that they've already announced game day and everything. Mm-hmm. So they're hyping it up. And they're doing it not because it's a great matchup. They're doing it because of Kiffin and first game. And so, you know, that whole campus will be fantastic and they'll be fired up and the players will be into it and such. But do you think if Lane Kiffin was being honest that he would say, I don't want game day week one, game one? Or do you think he just wants all the fanfare? I mean, in terms of how it helps the team more than anything.
It's tough because, I mean, I saw the magazine headshots floating around, you know what I'm saying? So Vanity Fair? So yeah. There's a part of me that thinks Lane really wants this, but the words Lane Kiffin says, he's trying his best to pump the brakes. He knows he can't slow this thing down. It's already at 100 miles an hour. But I think deep down inside, a little less spotlight wouldn't be a bad idea, especially with the football product.
Right. Shout out, Jared, comment of the night. Lane's always honest.
Yeah. Honest Lane, you know?
It's just, again, we're being optimistic here, right? But
yeah,
it just seems like it can only backfire, I feel like. All this hoopla and all this week one. I mean, Dabo, I think for him this is like, if he loses his game, I think he's done. I think he's done already. You know what I mean? Yeah. But if he wins it, he'll be like, you know, like I'm back, baby. You know, I don't know.
I do think there's a smidge of doubt that's floating around there that Lane Kiffin will bust this season. So to say they have nothing to win, I feel like winning this game, having all that hoopla around it, oh man, it could really elevate LSU where we're talking about, because people, I'm talking fanfare, the ones that don't really pay attention, they always pay attention week one. And right. They'll be talking, you'll be passing some random person and they'll say, hey, what about Lane Kiffin? You know, he may have lost three games by then. We're like, yeah, he's doing great. You know,
let me word it this way. Final thing, and then we can move on. If LSU loses to Clemson, and I don't think they're losing. I think they'll comfortably win it. I've already said that. But if they lose to Clemson, do you believe they'll still have a good year?
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what is a good year? So I
playoffs?
Think I was going to say nine. Nine and above would be a good year. They don't hit nine if they lose week one.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a lot to... Yeah. There's a lot to lose there. But you know what? There's not a lot to lose.
What's that?
Week two, Louisiana Tech. Get the hell out of here. We beat them 17 in a row, 20-2 is the all-time series. Shade, I was going to just trivia you. I don't think there's any way you'd know this. Last time Louisiana Tech beat LSU, any idea? And keep in mind, it's been 17 times in a row that LSU's beaten Louisiana Tech.
So it's been 17 times in a row. So it'd probably be, what does that put it, 1948?
Not even close.
No.
One more guess.
Not even close. So 1965?
Even further. 1904.
Oh. Derek Dooley was there, wasn't he?
All right, week three. Now we're undefeated. Now it gets real, Shane, because we're going to Oxford. Ooh, the most racist place on earth. According... Not to me. It's not my words. This is Lane Kiffin, right? So we're going on the road. There's going to be all this hoopla. Trinidad saying, you know, we're fired up about this game. You know, P. Golding's fired up.
Yeah.
And all the players left behind. And, oh, man, this is going to be interesting, Shane. Interesting. And this game would be easier to predict, I think, if we knew what LSU is going to do against Clemson, and more importantly, what Ole Miss is going to do against Louisville.
Yeah.
You know, because conceivably they could both have a loss. I think they'll both be undefeated, but that'll add something to it. But man, they know each other so well.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, Shane, you know what I know well?
What?
LSU always whoops Ole Miss ass. Come on. They beat him 64-53 is the all-time series. So maybe not all the time, but I think all the pressure's on Pete.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Cheat Golding on this one. He's got to win it. Cannot lose this game. Meanwhile, Lane Kiffin coming back home.
Yeah. Really,
but, you know, he's been there. He's dominated that place. It usually is a fluke when Ole Miss beats LSU.
Yeah, I can. I'm imagining what that locker room's going to be like. You know, Coach O doing a line of vitamins before he gets out there, getting all fired up. You know what I'm saying? Get cranked up, getting these boys ready to rock and roll and come out here and win. This is it. This is, you're the villain, right? This is ultimate. You ever watch those? I'm sure you have those Marvel movies, and then just the bad guy comes in there and just whoops up on Superman's ass or whoops up on Batman's ass. That's kind of what I feel like is going to happen week three. Give me LSU with a massive, massive win, and the momentum train is rolling.
Well, I don't know about massive. I still think it's a toss-up, but
no, I don't. Not as an LSU fan.
Okay, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. I just think, emotional game, Shane. Very emotional. As will week four, Shane. A&M comes to town. Now, they whooped us last year. A&M's actually won three of the last four in this series, Shane. But last year was A&M's first win in Baton Rouge since 1994. How about that? So it's been a first time as SEC opponent. But I don't know, Shane. You tell me if I'm crazy. And I kind of am. I think this game's bigger for LSU.
Yeah.
Than Ole Miss. Because A&M is the one that did our previous coach in. And they've, you know, it was kind of like A&M asserting themselves. We're the better program. We've taken a step further. Brian Kelly is no Mike Elko. And LSU wisely saw that and fired his ass immediately. So I think this is really an opportunity, because LSU fan wakes up, he doesn't even think about Ole Miss. You know, like we're above, we've been above them. We live above them, you know, but A&M, they just went to the playoff. You know, they're building under Mike Elko. So it's not a do or die, but if you lose to A&M 2 years in a row at home, back-to-back years, then you have to admit A&M's ahead of you. And again, A&M's one of the better teams in the SEC, if not the country. So I'm not saying it's like you're losing to some scrub here, but I think this game's massive for A&M, or excuse me, for LSU. And I think that's why Lane Whiffen is going to get another one to A&M. He owns Texas A&M's ass, Shade. So I think LSU, this is the game Kiffin's got circled.
I don't know if he's got it circled. I feel like he's got a lot of games circled prior to this one. In fact, I feel like that may be part of the problem coming into this matchup. All the energy, you're talking about exhausted team, because you know they will be, because they're going to give everything they have to whoop up on them Rebels. And to come back, it's like, yeah, we got a home game, A&M, let's knock this out and get on with it. I don't think so, man. As much as I like to shit on Texas A&M, I feel like big game Lane is going to pop his ugly head up some part early in September. He's going to lose a game that you probably didn't think he would, and this is kind of the one I've got circled. So, believe it or not, I got A&M winning this game.
Well, again, I don't think that's a wild take at all. I mean,
yeah. I probably should have worded it, out of the three big games in September, they're losing one. Best case scenario, they lose one. I don't think they go undefeated on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think this game, again, if LSU beats Ole Miss, I think they'll be favored, but maybe just by like three.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a very, very contested football game. You know what won't be contested?
What's that?
The next one against McNeese. Come on, get the hell out of here. That's an easy win. And again, a man cruising to 5-0 right there for LSU, I think.
How much would I have to pay you to see you ride one of these horses that buck around like the old McNeese horse here? Is it under $1,000?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Okay, $200.
Can we split the difference like $500?
I'm going to tell you, brother, I almost killed. Listen, I haven't been this big my whole life. I did ride a horse once, and it's deceivingly high. You don't realize how high off the ground you are. I'm not afraid of heights, like beyond a certain point. There's that window where it's like, wait a minute, we are too far off the ground. That was on a horse, and later they put him down. But, you know, it was
like immediately after you got
yeah. Blue fact, we call him Elmer.
Well, I don't think you are aware of this, Shane, but at the Fanboy Expo, there's going to be one of the cowboys from Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to talk about our roping days.
All right, next game, Shane, at Kentucky's trap game. Ooh, the Steiner recliner. Shane loves him some Kentucky. He's been getting in battles with the Kentucky fans all day on social media, except they've just been yelling at him. He's not been saying anything back. But they're going to be very quiet, Shane, come October, whatever this is, because they're getting their ass stomped at home. Come on, we ain't losing the Steiner recliner. I think Kentucky fans will be locked in on basketball come October 13th.
Damn, I tell Kentucky that they're going to win all these games, and they're still pissed. It's not enough, you know, because they're losing their coach at the end of the year. did not like that hot take. But anyway, I feel like this is not one Stein's going to get. So give me another win for LSU here.
Any, trap game because it's on the road or anything?
Well, there's a part of me that thinks of the Ole Miss, Kentucky. I mean, you can't think about Mark Stoops being, you know, tossed around the locker room. So, yeah, there's probably going to be a little PTSD here. But because of that, you can easily turn that clip on and say, hey, look, we were supposed to beat these guys and they beat us and right. honestly kept us out of a college football playoff. So, yeah, I don't think there's a trap game scenario here.
And I don't know if you remember this, and I may have this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's right. I think they fired Coach O because he lost to Kentucky.
Ooh.
And they were just like, LSU should never lose to Kentucky, which they're probably right, you know?
Damn. Coach O, Lane Kiffin. What's Baker's? What's his record against them?
All right, next week. Oh, we've been hyping up Mississippi State here lately, mm-hmm. Shane, and they're coming to Baton Rouge. We really like Mario Taylor. We like Zach Arnett, that hire. Jeff Lebby's, you know, a very solid offensive mind. So I don't think this is like a gimme by any means. And Mississippi State's going to sneak up and beat some people this season. I truly believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe it won't be this one. Come on, Shane. Come on. LSU's beating Mississippi State 7-0. Could you imagine being 7-0? LSU fans haven't been 7-0 and I don't even know when.
Wouldn't it be this could be a wild game. This could be a 42-45 type game. You know what I'm saying? You really can't let I don't know. You just can't come in here expecting to steamroll Mississippi State because I'm with you, Mike. I feel like these dogs are back and they're gonna be a little bit of a pain in the ass for a lot of these teams. And if you don't watch it, this may be the loss that you get. But I do like Lane Kiffin and LSU Tigers to get this one.
Okay. Now we got a tricky, tricky game, Shane. Again, I'm trying to get people to wrap their heads around at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
8 game in 8 weeks for them Tigers. This is going to be tough, Shane. Tough. Byron Brown, come on. I feel like if I keep saying his name on every episode, it's going to pan out for me.
Yeah.
But this was one of my favorite games. I say it all the time. LSU, Auburn, they used to be one of the early big SEC West games every single year. Unfortunately, we haven't had it the last 2 years because of the schedule got all changed, you know. But we're bringing it back, and it's a pretty contested series, Shane, 30-24. And I think this is a measuring stick game for both these programs, Lane Kiffin and Alex Golish. You know, I think they're going to be judged on how they do in this game. Because this is, again, 30-24 LSU leads the all-time series. So close to 50-50. But it's getting a little further. Come on, Shane. Because LSU going on the road at beating Auburn. And it's not going to be easy. I think it'll be by like a field goal type. I mean, I think it's going to be a battle. Maybe in overtime. As old Les Miles would say, we're undefeated in regulation.
I think this game's about timing. You wish you'd had them earlier, and Auburn may have had a shot here. But at this point, I feel like LSU's rolling. You know, they're identifying the backups, the young talent, I shouldn't say backups, you know, the rotation. And And I feel like that's where Auburn's going to start getting exposed about this time. I don't know how close we are to a bye week or if they've already had one, but
they've had their bye.
They're going to need another one after this one, Mike. LSU big.
all right. Well, speaking of bye, so that's now after this game, LSU gets that bye.
Yeah.
And they get to host Alabama, Shane. Alabama. Kalen DeBoering. Come on down. Now, DeBoering's not lost to LSU. I don't know if you're aware of that. But he's never faced Lane Kiffin either.
Yeah.
Shane, Bama has won three in a row in this series. And this used to be the measuring stick game for the SEC West. Do you have any idea, Shane, the last 15 years, you know how many Alabama has beaten LSU in the last 15?
Alabama's beaten LSU?
The last 15 years.
Four.
No.
No,
Bama's beating them 13 out of 15.
Shit, I don't know.
Bama always beats LSU.
I thought it was a trick.
No, there's no trick, Shane.
I got like a short-term memory. I can't go back their games.
This first loss of the season. Bama, DeBoer, they own LSU. That's when the undefeated run comes to an end.
That's tough. That's tough for you to say. Kalen DeBoer, something positive about Alabama. Steven up, where you at? Where you at, cuz? I wish I was as positive, Mike, because I think games like this are important. When you talk about Alabama, you know, you talk about some of these rivalries that you're going to have every single year. These are the ones you got to get right, and I think they get it right early. Hell, Mike, I knew it. I knew he'd say something positive about Alabama. He'd just totally disappear. I knew it wasn't him. Is Kalen in there with you? But I'll tell you, I do not think that this is going to be a close game. Actually, I don't know. I could see it being a close game, but I like, because I'm an LSU fan today, I like LSU to get that win by 10 points. So that's where I got it. What do you think, Mike?
Okay, hold on.
Nah, you good looking bastard. Uh-huh. Too many corn dogs over there. But anyway, we'll see. Let's put up some comments while Mike is figuring out technology. What do you guys think? Oh, here we go. I can't do the music, Stephen, up, but I appreciate you, cuz. Here I am with a $20 donation. I appreciate you, Roll Tide. Oh, where did Mike go? You know, that's a good question. He's getting him a little Tennessee Legend distillery over there. There he is.
I don't know. It just said the camera got unplugged, but the camera didn't get unplugged.
I don't know, man.
I could hear everything you said, though. I heard what you said about me.
See, I got this old-ass camera, and they failed me. You and your fancy camera.
All right, Shane, let us move on.
Yeah.
Week 11, Mighty Texas. Arch and Sark coming to town, buddy. This could be a playoff type game for both teams. Who knows where, you know, Texas will have gone through Ohio State and Oklahoma. The SEC gauntlet. Meanwhile, LSU, the way I have it, they're licking their wounds here, Shane.
Yeah.
Shane thinks Texas is the best thing since damn sliced bread. Going undefeated, going to win the national championship, probably going to win the Super Bowl, according to Shane and Arch Manning, because he's that damn good. So how can we pick against Texas? Year, what is it, 4 or 5 for Sarkisian? I think it's year 5. It's year 1 for Lane. These are two good buddies.
Mm-hmm.
They were both offensive coordinator, I believe, at Southern Cal there under Pete Carroll. So they go way back. I bet they're going to text all offseason and even during the season, but it stops this week, Shane. This could be a non-communication type week. Sark, if he doesn't win this one, I think he's going to get fired, Shane.
Oh.
So I'm picking Texas. Come on, Texas. I think, again, they're just further ahead as a program than LSU. But if LSU's winning this game, they might be national championship level.
This could be a preview of the national title. I mean, if all is going well, You know, I feel like LSU definitely has the ability to get to the playoffs, and I feel like Texas is going to be a playoff favorite when it's all said and done. And this will be a big, big game. And I don't know. You know, we used to give Lane Kiffin a hard time about the big game, saying he just can't get ready for them, right? Get your popcorn ready. And I mean, we all remember that, and then we saw how that ended. It's just – but I feel like, I don't know, this is a new squad. This is a new team. This is LSU Tigers, man. Can Lane get up for the big game? Absolutely. But one thing that he can't do is he can't beat UT. Wait, they're not UT. Yeah! I got LSU winning this game at home, Mike. This is going to be his signature win this season. And I feel like this is what's going to cement LSU Tigers for the postseason.
Does Texas make the playoff if they're losing to LSU? Can they overcome that?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like with the 9-game SEC, there's going to be some losses that nobody's going undefeated. As much as I'd love to see it, it just ain't happening. And so you got to pick your losses. And I feel like this could be one that you won't like if you're a Texas fan, but you're okay because you'll probably get to play them again.
Scale of 1 to 10. Is this the best game in the SEC in the regular season? LSU versus Texas at LSU.
I don't think it's the biggest one, but it is up there. It is, I would say, top five. Easy. Yeah. Easy. Maybe bigger? Flirting with top three.
Well, maybe another candidate, Shane. LSU at the real UT. How about that? Did you see what I did there? Tennessee. Yeah. You don't want to be catching Tennessee late. I think they're going to be a lot better later in the season. Lane Kiffin makes his return. We were there last time. It got pretty ugly. Golf ball, mustards. He was there a couple times with Bama's OC as well. That wasn't quite as ugly. But, man, this could be a playoff-type game for both of these teams, Shane. Sam Levitt. Ooh, Jordan Ross. Ooh, we didn't even mention William Satterwhite, the backup center. They stole him, too, Shane. Stealing everything. I think he's going to steal some hearts, and he's going to steal a win, Shane. Give me LSU to go into Neyland Stadium and knock off the Vols.
I think having LSU win against two orange teams back-to-back is damn near impossible. So I feel like, I don't know, I'm kind of with you. I feel like Tennessee will be a better football team at this point. Neyland will be a tough environment to win. And I'm not saying Lane Kiffin and company can't do it, but again, there's going to be some losses. I've got LSU as a best-case scenario 10-2 team, and so I got to find that second loss, and I'm looking in Knoxville, Tennessee for it. So give me a loss against the Tennessee Vols. Gets up for a big game against Texas. You see a pattern, right? Loses the next week. You know? This is classic Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. He forgot he had on his LSU. He's still got that orange on his heart.
I know it does sound a little homerous, but here, maybe I should word it this way. They lose to one of the orange teams. That's
fair.
That's fair.
I think you nailed it. All right. The last game at Arkansas. I'm not even going to waste my time, Shane. That's a big old win. I don't care where that game's played. Unless this Silver Fox is a lot better coach than we anticipate. Should be an easy win.
Should be an easy win, will be an easy win. And guess what? First year, Lane Kiffin is in the college football playoffs, and he's taking no other jobs.
All right. So, again, here's the schedule, Shane. Mm-hmm. Most important games for LSU debut under Lane Kiffin. This is a difficult one for me. I know everybody's excited about Ole Miss, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even put it in the top three, Shane. It's not even on our radar. Again, I told you, I think A&M's huge for so many reasons. Got to get that one, in my opinion, if you want to prove that you're a legit playoff-type contender. Texas, we've just talked about how important that game is. And Alabama, those are my three most important games. Because, again, we're trying to win championships down here, Shane.
Yeah,
This ain't Revenge Bowl here. You win or lose, Ole Miss, I don't think it affects the season whatsoever. But I think A&M, Texas, and Bama, I think those are the games that define the season for LSU. What's your thoughts on those three most important games?
Oh man, there's so many, but for me, Mike, it's the month of September, and I really think Ole Miss should be in this mix. I personally feel like Texas A&M should be number one, like you. It's not one that we're talking about. Like, yeah. Seriously, we talk LSU schedule to other people. A&M's not the game that's popping up, but I feel like it's the one that could be the thorn in their side later. And I think Ole Miss on the road and Clemson being the week one matchup. And I told you how important I feel like that game is. If we truly have aspirations to make it to the postseason, you can't lose your first game just because of the schedule you got heading down your way. So, yeah, I'm going to kind of stick with that. I'll go A&M first. I'll go Ole Miss second and Clemson third.
Okay. I think what we've learned from there, Shane.
Yeah.
They got a lot of important games.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
All right. Final thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence. Take off your optimistic hat. This is realistic, Shane.
Okay.
Confidence. LSU makes the playoff scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high.
3.8.
Okay. 38.
Almost 40%. It's a good-looking team. Good-looking team. And I have confidence that Lane will have these boys dialed in, right? Because that's what it is. A lot of this is you're just letting go of the steering wheel and praying to God you whoop up on some of these teams, right? But I feel like
– Jesus take the wheel? Is
that Lane, I'm not comparing Lane to Jesus by no means. But Lane, I trust you. I trust the process. I feel like we're going to be at least in that conversation late November.
Okay.
It may be like a game we're playing Texas and Tennessee back-to-back, and you got to win both of them to get in, you know? And
Mike Andrews, important comment here. It's largely dependent on Sam Levitt's health. Wouldn't you agree?
I totally agree. But Lane's pretty good with backups, so, you know.
Last one. I think I already said last one, but I'm going to ask you last one again. Scale of 1 to 10, same thing. We go over the 8.5. What would be your confidence 1 to 10 that LSU goes over 8.5 wins?
5.8. Yeah. 5.8. Yeah, they go over. That I feel like this could be a 9-win team. I could see that. I can get behind that. I just don't know if that makes it to the playoffs because that's not LSU. They should. I think a 3-loss LSU team should get in, but right. I have no faith in the college football playoff committee.
Well, you know who I do have faith in?
Who's that?
Liquid.
Oh, thank you, cuz.
Lifted, gifted, a membership to Buddy is Real. Buddy.
Is he though? Welcome to the family.
Courtesy Liquid
Play. Now that he don't have to play Florida, he's like, hey, yeah, I'll start donating to the LSU game. I am going to miss that game. That was always one of my favorites, LSU and Florida. That one sucks. We missed it.
Especially now that it's John Summerall, Lane Kiffin.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
That'd maybe they'll meet in Atlanta.
Yeah. That's very optimistic.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Anything else before we close this one out?
No, man, I appreciate it again, Mike. I tell you every time all the work and effort you put into this thing, and I appreciate the cousins hanging out with us in this long off season, man. We got some cool stuff heading your way, so be sure you have those notifications on, and please hit that thumbs up on your way out, especially if you like LSU. Double thumbs up if you hate them. So if you could do that, that would be great.
All right, well, that's going to do it on this episode. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, we'll catch you on the next
one. All right, see you guys. Go Tigers.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.